Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee, Bill McMillan Sr., and Anna May, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ through the power of testimony, to provoke you to find your calling in the Lord. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." This podcast is brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on this journey to reach the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. We pray you enjoy the podcast and it blesses and encourages you, and may you grow in His Word and Spirit.
Welcome to Crosstalk. Tonight we're going to continue in our series, How We Got Here. Tonight we're pleased to have with us Billy and Ashley Holiday. Welcome, guys. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
We're thrilled to have you tonight. Anime is going to start with the first question.
So the first question we're going to ask you, Billy, is where and when did you get saved? And what brought you to that decision of accepting Christ?
Well, when I first got saved, I was 15 years old and was actually watching the 700 Club. And it was Pat Robinson. He, talked about accepting Christ as the Lord. And I really never did ever before that. You know, I always figured, like, you know, I was perfect and everything fine. And so I remember watching it that night, and I asked the Lord into my heart because I felt that I needed Him. Like, you know, it was just something there. As I was watching Him, I was watching the 700 Club and all the things that was happening and stuff. I just, you can feel the presence now that I know, you know, it was the presence of the Lord, and He was drawing me to Him. And that's just what it was. And I knew that I needed Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And that was all I needed. So I remember that night I asked the Lord into my heart, and since then it was changed since right then and there. I remember accepting the Lord and felt His presence in my life. And I remember the next morning I got up and started telling my mom and dad what happened. And I read something in the Bible about His Holy Spirit and the presence of God and all this stuff. And it was like I had to start telling people about what I experienced.
Right. You want to share it. That's what happens.
You want to share it. Right. That was it.
That's one of the proofs of being born again. It does something different, and you got to give it to somebody else.
Right. Right. That was it.
So then we're going to kick over to Ashley. Would you like to share when you got saved and what brought you to the decision?
I was raised in church, so I guess I always kind of had a relationship with God to that extent. But then when my brother Richie, when he was born and we had found out that he had to have the open heart surgery, I was 14. And I remember I know that, like, the only help that we had was going to be God. So that was kind of when I come to the realization of it was not so much just kind of being raised in church, but I needed to have a relationship with Him. And that's, I guess, the first time that I remember crying out to Him. And I think that's when I actually got saved.
Praise God.
Amen. That was good. Do either one of you want to share the first time you witnessed to somebody or brought someone to the Lord?
Well, yes, I remember it was actually pretty good. It was down at the outreach.
Mm-hmm.
We had in the I loved it, the outreach, and down at the church. And it was, I'd always go down, and, you know, sometimes I didn't pray, you know, didn't have to do it or minister or something the night. But I remember one time I was up ministering, and we had a prayer, you know, come down, and a family come down, and they brought their husband down, I believe he was, and he wanted to accept Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he said. And I remember I got to pray with him, said the sinner's prayer. I remember crying.
Amen.
And it was a wonderful experience. You know, I loved it, the outreach, and that just experience that and see the move of God down there, and just how people was just accepted the Lord. It was really nice, and I remember that was the first time I ever brought someone to the Lord and got to share with them about Jesus and stuff. It was a beautiful experience.
It was good.
The outreach is the people's hurting, number one, but they're coming with no preconceived anything. They just need Jesus. It's
right.
Like her, I want to touch Him, and things happen.
That's just what happened. And, you know, it was so real. And so it was so simple and so real, and was just, we got to share Jesus, and people just, they were so acceptive.
Amen.
Just they know they needed Him. That was just it. They just know they needed Him.
Amen.
How about you, Ashley?
Well, I mean, I have to be honest, as far as, like, the street ministry and things and leading people to the Lord, I don't really have a a time where I can think of that. But when I was reading the when it was talking about witnessing to someone, the thing that stood out to me the most was like when we had started trying to get expecting, and we had found out it was maybe this nightmare, and it ended up being worse than what we actually anticipated. But I remember I was like, I was praying and I was asking God for this cup to pass. I didn't want to have to do this. And I remember saying, I don't want a testimony. I want left alone. I didn't, I just wanted a family. I didn't want to have to do any of it. And then like when you fast forward, cause it was like a long, hard battle when we got expecting Billy Elijah, by that point years had went by and everybody kind of had known that we was having some problems. So it was kind of like people had watched God do something in our lives. And then I remember just shortly after he was born, young girls coming up to me and telling me that to ask me to pray for them. And it was, I got to witness to them as far as showing them that what God could do. It was like God had put us on a platform to for them to be able to encourage them and to see that there was nothing in our power that we could have did. We tried everything in our power, every doctor, every, I listened to everything they said. I couldn't make it come one second sooner. And then again with the twins, years had passed. But we, people would come in confidence, tell you that they was having these problems or ask you to pray for them and tell you how that watching God bless us with our family had encouraged them. And that being a witness for God, just to show people that he, no matter what the circumstance was, that God is able, that was such a thing that I didn't really ever, I didn't want it, but then it was such an honor.
Right.
To be able to be used, for God to use you as a tool to encourage somebody and to witness to them was unbelievable.
You had the opportunity to use what you had went through to help somebody else.
And you know, I was going through that at the time. You know, I had, we hated it, everything we had to go through and face it, and we didn't want nothing, you know, like anybody, don't want to go through any kind of trials or struggles or anything like that, but you never know what God has in store for you or what's in plan. Like, I never knew that I was ever going to be in the ministry, ever in life. Never dreamt it, never wanted to do it, nothing like that at all. And just the look of what God can do, you know, he had everything planned. He knew what was going to happen, on the what was coming up, and he knew that it was going to, we could speak to people about that, and people hurting and people going through trials and struggles, we was able to speak to and minister to the, and through that, all that hardship and pain and heartache.
That's it.
God turned it around for his good. We just didn't know it at that time.
I was just going to quote that scripture where it says, all things work together for good.
Right.
Because God don't cause them things to happen. He delivers them out of it, and he takes what the enemy intends for evil. And it's just this world we live in that causes all this stuff. It isn't God.
Right.
I say this all the time. We read Genesis and everything he created. It said it was good. It was good till the fall of man. But he took something, that's what, when I look at you, this is what I think of, a hurt, I can't even imagine, everybody has their own hurt, but it was something beyond for you.
Right.
And look what he's done.
It's amazing.
It's give hope.
It's give, that's people. Right.
It's give Henry and it hope right. to well, their people.
That praise and God Billy. That we're able to, you know, that just, it's only through God, that's it. 100%. And just only give him all the praise and glory and honor, because he was it. Without him, well, we wouldn't have a family without God.
Right,
that's just it.
And that scripture where it turns, those that sow in tears will reap with joy.
Right, yes,
and
yes.
You certainly
that was, reaped a lot of joy. That was definitely us, and we sowed in a lot of tears, too.
Well, and it's like every time you see the kids running down the aisle and stuff, to me, it's just a constant reminder of the goodness of God.
Yep.
Right.
It really is. It really is when I look at the kids.
I seen your two running down the aisle, and then I looked to the left the other night, and your other one had his hands up praising God.
Yes,
I know. God's been so good to us.
It gets no better than that. Yeah. You know, it really doesn't.
Any standout moments that you'd like to share with us or anything that's impacted you through your walk with Christ?
Well, I do remember one time, but it's just something that back with Park and Preach and stuff, you know, back at the outreaches, it was one thing always stood out to me. I've never forgot it because, you know, we would go down with Park and Preach and we would minister, and it was just, it was so simple, just a simple message. It wasn't, you know, we didn't have to break down the Greek and the Hebrew and all these things. All we did was just tell people about Jesus and that he loved them and that he died for them. And people would so accept, just like I said before, but the about down at the outreach, well, the park and preach, for those that don't know like what it is, it's basically what it sounds like. We parked and we preached.
Right.
That was it. So there was one place downtown Phoenix. I can't remember her name. We would go to it a lot. And it was anointed ground, I guess, right, is what you could say. We've seen a lot of things happen there at this ground. And even one time there was a guardrail in behind it, and a few years would go by, and I guess I must have been sad and upset, and I've talked about it several times before, but Bill even said to me one time, standing there, he said, who knows, maybe Ashley will have twins. Just picked it up, like, knowing what was going to happen. But one time we was down there, and Bill gave the word, and you know, he gave the altar call to accept Christ, and there was a little girl that was just standing in the back. And I remember talking to her, and I said, do you want something you want to get prayed for? And she was frozen. It was like, and she started to cry, like her eyes filled up with tears. She couldn't have been, I don't know, 9, 10, maybe 11 at the oldest. She was, and she said, I want what he talked about. And I said, you want, and I brought her up to the altar, and she said, I want Jesus.
There you go.
And she told us her mom died, her dad was in prison, and she was being raised by her grandma. And her grandma was across the street, you know, just watching her. And she come down, and she accepted the Lord right there. And Bill prayed with her, and we was all greeting. It was a big greet out, it was, right, there at that time. And she went back, though, to tell her grandma about what the man, is what she was saying, the man was talking about.
Right.
And telling him about Jesus. And the grandmother come over and talked to us and talked to Bill, and we got to pray with her and stuff. It was a wonderful time.
A wonderful moment.
Just to see, you know, a little girl with childlike faith just coming saying she wanted Jesus. She wanted what he talked about. And it's always stuck out to me. I've never forgot it.
Well, it's wonderful. It mirrors what you talked about when you got saved. The first thing you did was want to tell other people. That wee girl left the altar.
And she come to tell her grandma.
And spread the word.
Yeah.
So, Ashley, we're going to go with you then. How about you? Any standout moments or anything that has ever impacted you?
Well, yes, there's been, like, different things I can think about over the years, and different times that, like, I had to get alone with God and just have had God speak to me and sustain me, and times that maybe, like, when we lived in New Jersey, we had been doing the church, and I laugh when I think we went back there right now in the fall, and it was kind of surreal to bring back my completed family. Mm. And there'd be different corners, and I remember, like, of different times I'd maybe get, like, a bad doctor's report or something, and I was doing the ladies' meetings at the time, and I'd have to lug in my piano into the ladies' meeting, and it was such a, at the time I wanted to cry. I'm not going to, like, make it something that it's not. I was pretty deep.
Yeah.
And looking back now, it was the times that I was the closest to God that I ever was.
Right.
It was like when I was in the valley, and I often say it, he was my sustainer.
Amen.
And there was different times where, like, Billy would get real deep, and he'd say, I can't do this no more. I want to stop. I don't know. And, I mean, I would never push him. I'd be like, okay. But in my heart, it was like something would break every time he'd say it. I couldn't understand, and I'd come to him and say, Billy, if you want to, we can, but I don't. It's like, I can't.
Right.
And we would maybe take a few months off, and then he would be like, okay, no, I want to do it again. And it was just like God sustained us. And it was through all those different things and those different obstacles that we had went through. And there's several of them that stand out to me. Like the one time we had flew down to, there was a revival in Lakeland, and we were so desperate. It was when we had very first, like the first couple of years, and it was so new, and it was such a fresh hurt. And God always went before us, and we had flew down, we wanted healed.
Right.
What we wanted. That's why we flew down there. We were desperate. And we was like, God, we had heard about people getting healed at the meetings. So we flew down, and my in-laws had come down with us, and my people come down, and we was like, please, God, heal us. And I remember crying out. While we was there, we never got healed, but Billy McKenzie was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said a beautiful prayer over us, and he had prayed that we would get expected, and he prayed that God would give us a son. And I remember clinging to that word,
right,
and we had left and went back to New Jersey, and years went by. And I read it in my Bible, and I would go back to it and I would keep reading it, and I know what God had told us. I know that God wasn't going to go back on his word, and I would stand on that. And like I just said, he just sustained us. He would always send little nuggets, little people by to give us words of encouragement when we was at our deepest, our most disgusted. He would send us a little word. And through all them heartaches, that's when we grew as, I guess, Christians. That's when we kind of got as close to God. I now know that there's not nothing that we could go through that God wouldn't be able to, like that scripture, life nor death separates you from the love of Christ. We went through sickness. He was there. And then there would be different things that would maybe come by, like when my brother got the second heart surgery, that was totally out of left field.
Right.
But he sustained us from that. All those things, he just has been my sustainer my whole life.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you know, today you said something there, you knew God wouldn't go back on his word. And today my daughter-in-law posted something that I read, and it so goes with it. It said, let me remind you, what God has ordained, no man can overturn. Isaiah 14:27. What God has purposed, no tongue can revoke. Numbers 23:19-20. What God has blessed, no one can stand against. Deuteronomy 23:5. So in speaking that, what you said, you wrote it down in your Bible, you took the word, you knew the word, you stood on the word, and no matter what men said, they couldn't revoke it.
Right.
Because God cannot lie.
Right.
No, we can't. I remember, I think about it sometimes. We had just gone through an IVF, and it didn't work. And my mom had took me to the doctor, and the doctor said to us, I'm sorry, Ashley, but just know that you come to the best.
Mm-hmm.
He was referring to himself.
Right.
Like that was going to make it better.
Right.
And he was like, you've done everything that you could have did.
Better.
Yeah, you come to the best doctor. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of devastated looking at him. I was only a wee girl. I was only like 21. And when we had left, I remember thinking to myself, it was such a nightmare. I was like, this doctor thinks that he's the best and he can't help us.
Right.
And then it was such a comfort, rapidly, that comfort that I did have the best.
Right.
The best was on my side.
Right.
Whatever the outcome was going to be, if it was going to go my way or not going to go my way, right, at the end of the day, that I had the best back at me, and I know that I was going to be okay.
Amen. It was beautiful.
Amen. 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 How did you get into ministry, Billy?
Well, it was through, you know, when I was going through everything we went through with trying to have my boy when we first found out we was expecting. But I mean, we would pray and fast, you know, and like all these things, and nothing ever happened, right? And so I could always remember, I felt the call of God, and I would pray and I would pray and I would pray. And I remember saying, it was big for me because I didn't want to stand up and speak or anything. Right. And I remember saying, well, I'll start the Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember we was waiting on doctor reports and waiting on doctor report and stuff. Well, I'll start the Bible studies. I'm going to start the Bible studies. And I remember, okay, I didn't start the Bible studies. And we found we're having a baby, all over joy. And it was such a weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could feel that, like, I had to, so all I said was, why don't we start the Bible studies? It was back in Jersey. Okay, when do you want to start it? It was that simple.
Yeah.
And from there on, it just grew and grew and it grew. And then years went by, and Tommy Cameron said to me, all right, well, you're going to do Sunday night. Mm-hmm. No, I wasn't doing Sunday night. No. That wasn't going to happen. Then again, the same weight and the pressure fell on me. I had to do it. And ever since then, I was just talking about it tonight with my oldest boy. He asked me, he said, how did I do it? I said, well, I've never did ever asked, say, like, I have a message or can I preach or something. But I said, I promised I always would give a word if I got asked.
Right.
And from there on, it always grew because I kept getting asked. So
right.
Then I wanted to be in the ministry. I felt the call. And so it all stemmed from us trying to have a baby and seeing what God was able to do and me wanting to tell people that if he helped me, he could help
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen.
It grew from that.
We see it all the time. They feel the call of God and want it, but they just, you know, turn their back.
Right.
Don't want to do it or, you know.
Right. Fear.
Fear, right. But there's nothing in the world like it. When you just get up and tell people about Jesus, my gosh, it's the best feeling in the whole
Amen.
World.
Amen.
Just to tell
Amen.
Someone what God can do for them.
Amen.
How about you, Ashley? You want to add anything?
I mean, I just, I guess, like, my testimony, I feel like, and also I'm kind of a behind-the-scenes person. Mm-hmm. I'm really not much for being in the forefront. Uh-huh. But I always, when we was trying to get expectant, I would have offered to do the children's church. I'd have done the nursery, right. Wherever. There's always a need.
Absolutely.
There's always somewhere that you can right. fill in. You don't have to really be behind the pulpit or, I mean, at one point when he was doing the church, I'd done the song service, but I mean, I didn't do a good job, but I did my best and I was ready and available.
That's it.
I just feel like your testimony should go like before you. That part, that's a ministry, just your testimony. Amen. Everybody can be in the ministry.
That's right.
You don't have to have like a big dramatic thing. No. Just your testimony, what God's done for you. There's always somebody to point in the right direction.
Amen.
Availability.
Yeah.
So, we're going to go back to Billy. How important is it for you to have your lovely wife or your spouse to support you in your ministry?
Well, it's very important. You know, it's really, it's a whole family deal, like all of us together, you know, because without like Ashley, like just like she said, when we was in Jersey, we was together and we had to run the church time. So she would bring her piano in and we had no music. We had no one to sing, no one to do nothing. And the iPod we had a couple of times there, which is kind of the, you know, the blues. It isn't, what good is that? So she would bring her piano in and she would sing song, even though she hated it and didn't want to do it, but she was doing it for the Lord.
Right.
That's right.
And she was doing it to help us. It
was a need.
Support. It was a need,
right.
Ministry,
so yes. We're in it together. And even at times when I get down or depressed or, you know, sometimes she's always there to help me, to, you know, to encourage me or right. to tell me to read my Bible more or what's wrong or right. something like that. But it's together as a family. You know, if I went to go somewhere or preach somewhere at night, like I said, like park and preach or something, she had no problem with it. Actually, she'll say, why are you gone to park and preach? Why are you gone?
Yeah.
Where are you at? Like, why are you yeah. doing this? So right. she's more of a forcer and a pusher behind for the things of right. God and to be in the ministry. So, yes. Without your spouse backing you or behind you, it would be impossible.
Be impossible.
Is it difficult, you think, Billy? You have a teenage boy now in the crew, and you've got your wee kids, and is it difficult being in ministry,
well,
raising your family?
Yes and no. I mean, it is. I can tell my son, like, he's going to go to church. My boy is. You know, we want him to, and we make sure he's in church. We'll text him, call him, put your phone down, you know, whatever. We're sitting on the other side, so we're watching everything
that's
he does.
It. Right.
So it isn't really, I wouldn't say it's difficult. No, I wouldn't, because if I can tell him to do something, you know, it might be a little bit of a fight, but he's going to listen and give in, because he knows it's for God and for the better, you know, for church and stuff.
Amen.
How about you, Ashley?
I mean, I feel like it's more so a blessing than it is a difficulty. I pray that it would shield the three of them from things. I mean, I know it's not a guarantee, and they can make choices, and I tell Billy Elijah all the time to make good choices, and I pray that he does, but I feel like if it's kind of like it's a blessing just for our family to set that example for them.
That's fun, yeah.
The church needs to be important. We come, if there's chaos in the house, we still come to church. Nothing comes before it. I mean, sure, it would be easier a lot of times to, rather than rushing everybody out the front door yeah. to take a day off but it's not, it's important. I
right.
just feel like it kind of shows them, the twins are still only babies, but
right.
Billy Elijah is old enough to where he's seen it's been a priority in our house his whole life. So I'm praying to God that it'll be a priority for him.
Amen.
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 So then more to your vision for the church and our people.
Well, what I would like to see is, you know, our people get saved more.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people on Sunday morning, Wednesday, whenever they come to church, sit in the back and they hear the call for God and they turn around and walk out, figuring they have everything okay and under control and stuff. When, you know, they think because we're travelers and who we are, we're fine, we're saved, but in reality, you're living in sin. And, you know, it's sad to see it. We say it every Sunday morning or something. We could be down at the altar, and it's always usually the same people that's down at the altar. It's never, you know, it's never nobody else new or something. Everybody can't wait to get out the door and tell some kind of sapless crack outside and listen to something or go eat or go whatever it is and figuring that they just got everything all under control. What I would love to see is more more younger people and, you know, people my age and a little younger come to church more and just accept the Lord more. You know, just do things for God. Step out. Be bold. Stand up for the things of God rather than the things of this world.
Amen.
Amen.
And that seems like the people that come to the altar are the ones that's more involved.
Right.
And I'm going to toss something out there that just popped in my mind that's kind of sort of with that, but not. Do you think, what's your thoughts on in church people with iPhones? Because, you know, I notice it's that group.
It's a very big distraction. It's huge. It is. I mean, people sit on their phones all day long. They text the whole day long, the whole time in church. They're probably texting about something else or where they're going to go, and they're talking like in a group message. Because I know I'll pick up my phone. You can see it starts to go off.
Right.
It does inside a church. But it's there, and it's like, it's like a curse.
Right.
Because you got to want to pick it up. You want to look at it. And you want to, you know, use it. Or even if, like I was talking with Tom Sunday, you can look at the phone as your Bible app.
Right.
But what happens when you're on that Bible app, you'll get a text message right on that. And you instantly
draws you away.
It completely draws you away. So, yes, it's like it just sucks you in.
It sucks you in. And this is the thing. When you said that, that come to me is, why is it against the law to text and drive? Why?
Well, because it's a distraction.
Yeah.
You can't concentrate.
Right.
So we noticed more in this town. It was unreal. I seen a 10-car pile up the other night. Literally, you've heard them say a 10-car collision.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go here, 2, 3, 4 cars. I don't know if it's like that all over the country. They're smashing like go-karts because everybody's texting.
Yeah, yeah. And they sit inside church and they'll text and look at scores. I know even me, I would always look at the score of the football game or look right at the score of the baseball game or what's that. Or it actually, I get notifications where this right even it pops up to tell me. Like,
well, that was
happening.
Something I went in and did, Billy. I took my notifications off where I have to go check it without it popping up on my Facebook and different stuff because it was very distracting. And my screen time went down like 30%, it said, or something.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And you can't help but, oh, look at this. And you could
right,
click
you
on
get,
it.
And
you don't know what was just
45
said.
Minutes goes by.
Yeah, right. Church is over.
Do you know? And it is a distraction. And I just went there because of the vision with the people. And you said people walking out. I feel like if they were more in tune with the Word of God, just say, I'm going to take 30 minutes. So that leaves me 23 and a half hours for my iPhone. But I'm going to take 30 minutes or an hour and I'm going to give it to God. That's a form of fasting.
Right.
Sacrifice.
Yes, it is.
It, you know?
And you know, if people started doing that more, they would do more for, they would come home and want to read their word more
right
and want to study, they want to spend more
amen
time with God and
amen
get closer to God rather than sitting on their phone texting or scrolling Instagram or whatever. Some
no,
kind
we
of,
all like to do that. I'm
right
not meaning in it. You
no,
know,
it's not nothing bad with
no
it and stuff, but I mean, you just,
right,
it takes away from God.
It takes
and
away,
it takes
from,
away
God
from your time for God. Like I say it all the time, if I didn't like talk to Ashley or something, we're not a family. If we didn't sit and talk, we just looked at the phone and sit and text
right,
and
right
done all these things. Well, how can you talk to God?
Right.
How
right
he's waiting for us to talk to him. He's waiting for us all day long to call
right
out to him, to pray, to spend time with us.
Amen.
So, I mean, how can you, if I don't talk to Ashley, then we have no, we don't talk.
Communication.
Right.
No, you can't get to know her. Yeah.
So but I even know with like the screen time with like the kids and stuff, they go into like a zombie mode with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I'll try talking to like Billy yeah Elijah, come in the house and I'll ask him something. And if he's on the phone, he's not even paying attention to a word that I'm saying. And he's not being rude. He's not
no
being mean. He
he's
isn't even
concentrating
he's
on what
just
he's
not
doing
even listening. So
yeah
then it's like when we're doing that and we're in church,
right,
there's no way it's pinning. You're not listening.
You're not. I've seen the videos of the people on the thing and they walked into glass doors. They
yeah
crept into pools.
And like my baby's in speech, and they're like limit screen time. It puts you in a trance.
That's it.
So it's hard to listen to the church and receive what the pastor's saying and receive what the man of like the minister's saying because it's like it's a hypnosis. It's a trance that you enter into. So it's just so hard. And then this is probably part of some of the reasons why the altar isn't full, because it's like a trance. And then when the altar call, okay, like the gong's been hit,
right,
and they exit the church.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with our people. We do everything in excess.
Yes.
Know?
Yes.
Yep.
One thing's nice, let's have 12. We're not going to skip you on the vision part. What's your vision for our church and our people?
The youth revival was so beautiful with the kids. It was such a beautiful thing to see. I know my boy got touched, and it was so nice that even the week of preparation, just everybody was so hungry for
Amen.
The things of God. They had kept the church open that whole week. It would just be such a blessing just for even myself and my own life, just to have that hunger at all times, to always Amen. Be hungering after the things of God, to always want more of Him.
That's good.
Amen.
That's good. What advice would you give somebody wanting to get into ministry or just serve God in general?
Well, what advice would I give somebody? I guess I would tell them, you know, just make sure you press into the things of God. You know, always be able to sit under someone like Charlie or someone and listen to them. Be sure and ask them. Be sure and take correction. Listen to what they tell That's you good. And listen to what they do. Because a lot of people don't, you know, don't figure and they have everything all figured out. And, oh, I know how to do this and I know how to do that. But when I first started, I didn't know nothing.
No.
And I had to listen to people and had to have them show me. And Charlie just helped me and showed me a lot. He was, you know, he told me before, he said, make sure you always have a message ready to go and make sure you always have a funeral message ready because you never know when something's going to pop up or they're going to need you. And, you know, somebody young starting out in the ministry, sit under someone good, listen to them and learn to take correction and grow for them. And through that, you grow in the things of the Lord.
Amen.
Well, our people don't have a hard time taking correction, Billy.
No,
I mean,
no.
I know.
They're very, listen very, especially someone like me, you know.
I've had my ears nipped back a few times, and I was glad afterwards.
Yes.
I've had women of God call me and share with love, and there's a way you do things in love. Love never fails.
Right.
It's that an iron sharpens iron. Yeah. We got to help each other.
And you need people like that in your life.
We need each other.
Yep, we need each other because no one else is going to help us. So.
Yep,
that's it.
And so anything on a personal note that you would like to leave us with?
Well, with me, and it was a big one. You know, I always, people can doubt God, right? And, you know, they go through hardship. And just like Ashley was talking about, everything we went through with trying to have a baby and stuff. And then, you know, when we had Billy Elijah, it was hard. And we struggled. And, you know, we prayed and fasted. But with my twins, it was like it was 10 times harder. Because my boy would ask us, why didn't he have a brother or a sister? Right. And so he would start praying. And he would ask God. He was actually very specific. He would say he wanted a brother and a sister. He wanted, and he got both.
Got exactly.
We got exactly. But it went on so long that I doubted. Mm-hmm. I did. I doubted. After seeing, I physically had proof of speaking, walking, testimony, talking to me. I just doubted like it was ever going to happen. And I would say it to Ashley. It was a movie, Avengers. And his whole family was dead and wiped out. And he looked at they were saying, okay, we can get them back. And he would said to them, don't give me hope. And she was saying, oh, it's going to work out good. And it's happening. Look, the doctor said, we're fine. Everything's good. The whole time I was saying, no, you know, this is, right. There's no way. And so I would send her that. It's a meme. Don't give me hope. You can actually Google it. And I would send it to her. I don't want it. I don't want hope because the heartache I knew was going to be horrible.
Yeah.
So anybody that's going through trials or any kind of pain or any kind of hurt, and you doubt that anything could get any better, don't ever doubt him because you don't know what he's capable of. Amen. There's nothing impossible for him to do.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. How about you, Ashley?
Well, like Billy was saying, when we had went through that, it's like other things pop up. So we had been wanting a baby and we had been praying, but then like discouragement comes along. And then, I mean, it's all right for a crack, bitterness. Like, God, I don't understand. You get me? It's like the stages of going through and waiting for something. You're like patient. And you're trying to do everything that you think you should do. And then you feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. And that gets old after a while.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then when my boy would come in and he was like, I'm praying and it would break my heart. And I remember asking God, I was like, God, you're going to have to take this desire from him because I'm going raggy. Because the baby didn't understand. He was only a child. He didn't know we was actively going to doctors and constantly getting negative reports. Right. He didn't have any idea any of that was going on. So we would go through all this and we'd come home to this poor thing. And when we would go in at night to say his prayers with him, that was his prayer.
Right.
So it was actually like I really felt like I was going to go raggy. I didn't know how I was going to be able to get through it.
Right.
So then all these other things the enemy uses. Mm-hmm. He knows when you're at your weakest and now that these other things all pop out. And I remember we was going when COVID hit, we had just got like two or three back-to-back horrific reports from the doctor. They was like, I don't know if we're going to, how we're going to be able to go any further. And we had bought him a vacation for Christmas, and then the world got shut down. And I remember it was such a foolish thing, but I was so mad. It set me off. I was like, we can't even take him on the trip that he wanted to go on. We can't give him a brother and a sister. It was like everything we went to
right,
do.
Right.
But then when I look back at that time, God had orchestrated all of that. I remember when we had went to the doctor, the last time we seen our doctor in New York, he had said to me, he called me. I was with my sister, Jacqueline, and we was on our way to a pumpkin patch or something. And I had to pull over. He called and was like, Ashley, we got the test results back, and I don't think it makes any sense for us to continue seeing you because we're not going to be able to help you. So I was like, okay. And I hung up, and I was a basket case, but I pulled myself together, and then I come home to Billy, and I was like, we're going to have to regroup. I didn't even let on to him that the doctor had called because I didn't even know how to begin to say it was so discouraging. So then when we had come back to Phoenix, it was like God ordained our footsteps. Because then we had got a new doctor, and I remember the first time we had seen him, I was like, God, I was so discouraged. I was, God, please just give us a fresh vision. Give the doctor a fresh vision. It wasn't that anything had physically changed or anything. I was like, God, and that's exactly what he did. He tried new medicines. He tried new things, but it was just fresh. It was just a new perspective. And then spiritually, God also had given me a new perspective. It was like a change of scenery. I was like, okay, I had to admit, it was hard to admit that, like, I was hurt. But the enemy uses all of those things. If you don't nip it in the bud, he'll turn the hurt to bitterness. Mm-hmm. If you don't try to get a hold of those things when they first start happening, he uses them as tools. He's like a roaring lion out to destroy. And I always say to people, he doesn't care. Like, there's certain things maybe you wouldn't use against somebody. He'll use your hurts against you.
Absolutely.
He wants you alienated from God. Right. He wants you alienated from church. Right. He wants you to think that God doesn't care and God's not listening to you and it's never going to get better. He wants you defeated, because then if he can get you there, that's half the battle of you not getting your prayers answered, is because if he can get you to believe that it's never going to get no better. And sometimes it doesn't go our way. It doesn't go your way. But God will sustain you. He'll still carry you through. It doesn't matter necessarily how we get there, as long as we get there to that point that we're just totally reliant on God.
Right.
It's good.
Not being denied, but being delayed sometimes.
Yeah.
And I've read that scripture about the crumbs, and it's told twice in the New Testament. And I said this the other night, but he looked at her and he said, let me feed the children first. He was telling her it wasn't the Gentiles' time.
Right.
But because of her faith, she said, but us dogs eat the crumbs.
Right.
Before her time, she received it. So sometimes we're not denied. We're just delayed for timing or a time and purpose.
And you know, Anime, Martha, everything we went through and all the heartache and pain, I'll be honest, I wouldn't change it for nothing.
Amen.
Because we wouldn't be in here right now talking to you about this if we never went through all that. We wouldn't know how good God is.
Amen.
And we wouldn't know what he was able to do.
All things work together for good.
All things work together for good.
And there's
going
to be people, a ton of people wanting babies that's going to hear this. It's an encouragement.
Well, yes, I pray that God would minister to them through us. That was to go through all of this. That was why God allowed us to go through it. God knowed at the time, even though I was maintaining that I was not, he knowed that we would be pliable and he'd be able to work with us, and that we wasn't going to hold it. Like, sometimes you go through things and it's such a hurt you don't want to share it. And for a little while, it was like that. It was so fresh and so hurtful that we really couldn't talk about it. But then you get to a point of desperation.
Right.
And you're like, God, just use me. And it's like such a thing, like the little Bible school song, hide it under a bushel. No, I want to let it shine. When he's been so good to us and he's blessed us so much, and I have these three beautiful children, I could never hold it all to myself. I could never not tell people. Yes, it was horrifically bad. If God had not have intervened, I have no problem saying that. And I'm not even a dramatic person, but it was a dire situation that if God had not have intervened, we would not have had our children.
Right.
Amen.
But he did intervene. That's the part that's so beautiful about it. And I'm sure there's people that will listen to it that will maybe be in situations that need the intervention of God, that need God to intervene. But just like it was for us, our need was a child. Our need was a family. But whatever the need would be,
I was going to say that, yes,
God will intervene.
Amen.
Because I know there's people listening that's been waiting on a healing. They've got kids with problems. They're all waiting. and they see little sparks of hope, and then
Yeah.
But I believe this. I believe hope, and I believe it's coming.
Yep, and that's all you need is hope.
And don't give up hope. Your boy prayed for a girl and a boy.
Yes. Yep.
And I remember when you hit the golf ball, you hit it first, right?
Yep.
And it was blue, right?
Blue, yep.
And everybody was holding their breath because not that you didn't want another son of ours.
Yes.
And when he swung and he missed, we were like, what? It was, now I'm standing like that. And then he hit it and the pink exploded. Yeah. If it was another boy, you'd have been just as happy.
Look at the death. Right.
I don't mean that.
I know. Right.
But God gave him the desires of his heart.
The desires of his heart.
She really is the cherry on top, even her wee name, Hope Elizabeth.
Well, we want to thank you. If you got anything else, if not, we sure want to thank you for coming on and for praying for this ministry. And we appreciate you, and you truly blessed me tonight. We love you guys.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming, guys. We love and appreciate you.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. Join us next Monday for the latest podcast, and remember, you can scroll down and listen to any that you missed. Please follow us on Spotify and tap the notification bell to have every new podcast loaded automatically. The Spotify app is free, and it makes it much easier. We will be posting new podcast links on New Life Church Facebook page every Monday. Thank you for listening, and we hope you listen next week. God bless.